What's going on, Todd?
The same old exciting stuff, boys. How's everything in Nashville?
It's good. Let's leave with that. Man, yeah. That Western Kentucky, that's a team full of confidence after just kind of doing what they wanted to do to Kentucky, honestly. And they go to Knoxville. Line opened up. I think I saw 13.5 pop down to 12, now back up to 13.5, 14. What do you think about that game?
When an underdog gets way too trendy and everybody thinks they can repeat a performance like Western Kentucky did last week, that's time to kind of jump ship. And I think Tennessee is in a great spot here. If Western gets caught reading any of their press clippings, they have that SEC big marquee win. I think Tennessee takes them out back and beats them going away by 3 touchdowns plus.
I think you're crazy.
What?
Why is the smart money on Kentucky? What's the number you're seeing right now? Because I've got 14 and 13.5.
Right now, 13.5, more or less the prevailing number at this point. Like Brent said, it did open at 12.5, and it's been bet up steadily. By all indications, and I've talked to a handful of the offshore books, about 85% of the bets they're seeing early on this game are coming in on the Hilltoppers.
85% on Western Kentucky. So people are buying into the fact that they're going to be competitive. What about the only other – there are three games that matter. So I'm just going to ask you to, I mean, really, when you dive into it this week, I mean, I'm going to give Florida and Miami out there as a game. Miami, it looks like, is around a 3-point favorite. You've got Notre Dame and Michigan. The line has moved, I believe, to Michigan 4-4. And then, obviously, the game that people care about the most in the SEC is that South Carolina and Georgia game, where I think the line is around Georgia -3. Let's start with the question about the South Carolina-Georgia game. What are you seeing here?
This game is fascinating because from a power number standpoint, Georgia should be about a 5.5 to 6-point favorite. Obviously, people see them lose to Clemson last week in 38-35, and some of that luster has worn off. The hard part for me is Clemson gave them all they could handle and more, but Georgia, if you dig into that box score and look at the stats, Georgia outgained them in terms of average yards per play and a lot of the key metrics we use here. So Georgia's power rating improved despite losing to Clemson, and I think that's what you're seeing in the market now with Georgia only a 3-point favorite. South Carolina really didn't do a whole lot against North Carolina to impress me. Two big plays, you kind of remove them. And if Bryn Renner doesn't struggle so much getting going in the first half, that 27-10 final was a little bit misleading.
That's interesting. So even though they lost.
Interesting. They got up 17-0, right?
Yeah, they were up 17-0 right out of the gates, and it looked like North Carolina had trouble adjusting. Carolina did cut it to 17-7, though, Blaine, and then they fumbled that punt when they had all the momentum, and that was kind of all she wrote. Mm. And then, of course, from a gambling standpoint, you saw North Carolina's ineptitude inside the 5-yard line trying to punch it in for a backdoor cover.
The other one, you said something that I think a lot of people would be surprised by. That is, even though they lost, in your book, Georgia's power numbers actually improved. Explain.
Yeah, they get a half-point bump for their performance. When you look at a lot of the statistics, and stats really usually is what we use to tell the whole story, Georgia put together a heck of an effort going into hostile territory. I know, Clay, you and I went back and forth about was the wrong team favored in that particular game, and I think Clemson was a little bit undervalued, played with a chip on their shoulder, rode that momentum from the Peach Bowl win against LSU. The biggest question for Georgia, though, going into the South Carolina game, the kicker still suspended, which we saw cost them 3 points, which came back to haunt them. You have a team a little more banged up, and it's more of the psychological standpoint. Can Georgia regroup in such a short period of time and focus on a game that right now is their entire season? They lose to South Carolina, any of those dreams of getting to the national championship, in my opinion, are completely dashed.
Not only the national, I mean, the chances of winning the SEC East if they lose to South Carolina, given South Carolina's schedule, that's worth a game and a half in the tiebreak, pretty low, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it puts so much emphasis on what Mark Richt can do. And you look at what Aaron Murray's track record has been and Rick's ability to get this team to bounce back in big games. You have to kind of get in between the years of these guys in Athens to know what you're going to get. For my dollar, I think the only way you can look at it is to bet Georgia and lay the 3 because it's a little deflated from a number standpoint, but I'm just not sure psychologically I really want to back this Bulldogs team in this spot.
That's fair.
Well, Todd, I guess I'll ask you about a lot of local teams here, and that'll be Austin Peay versus Vandy.
Oh, Austin Peay, a prohibitive underdog, so to speak, when you look at this number. Last check, I saw Vandy about a 45-point favorite in this particular game. And you look at Austin Peay getting whitewashed last week against Tennessee. Have to imagine they'll have more of the same fate this week. Vanderbilt, though, talk about a hard-luck loser. They had that game won and just couldn't close out Ole Miss. You have to wonder where this team is at and if they'll bounce back and play with a chip on their shoulder. But at that number, I want absolutely no part of it from a betting perspective.
All right, well, what about Middle Tennessee going to UNC, North Carolina?
Middle Tennessee, north of a two-touchdown dog. I know there's some questions about who the starting quarterback will be for the Blue Raiders. Logan Kilgore, I believe, was downgraded to doubtful. Numbers been bet up a little bit, out to 18. The over-under sits at 66. I think this is the kind of opponent that North Carolina will use their pace and tempo, get out early, and have a chance to kind of blow out. Now, I won't call them an inferior opponent, but a chance to kind of take out some of their frustrations from week one. One game, though, that I know most people won't be looking at, guys, it's had a pretty big move, all things considered. Texas A&M opened up as a 48-point favorite against Sam Houston State. That number is now down to 41. The thing about that game, though, it takes much lower limits in terms of volume of money to move the price, but a lot of people anticipating that A&M won't show a whole lot with Alabama on deck.
What about Arkansas State versus Auburn?
It's a real interesting game. Home team. And I think, yeah, when you look at the handicap for this, Gus Malzahn clearly knows the weaknesses of his former team in Arkansas State. I think Auburn mightily unimpressive in beating Washington State last week, but every week I think this Auburn team will steadily improve, and I would lean hard towards Auburn in this spot, only laying 13.
Interesting. Let's go to the NFL. Titans open in Pittsburgh. Seven and a half point line there. What do you think about that one?
Seems spot on for me. Pittsburgh, one of those teams I'm real interested to see how they handle the month of September. You talk about not really having a game breaker in the wide receiving core. Antonio Brown kind of has to assume that role. Ike Redman will be the featured back, and some questions there about how they move the football. The problem I have backing the Titans is I just don't know where that defense is at. And when I look at this game, I think at 42 on a total, assuming the weather is good at Heinz, I would look over more so than looking to try and back either the Steelers or Titans.
What about some other NFL games?
Yeah, Baltimore-Denver tomorrow.
Yeah.
That game has been real interesting. That number opened at 7 when it first came out. It was bet as high as 9.5, and it's taken a steady flow of money from the professionals who actually bought it from 9.5 up to 10, and it's been the public coming in as they read about the Broncos' injuries on the defensive side of the ball. I just can't put my money on Baltimore in this spot. Denver clearly has to have this game circled since the way they went out in the postseason last year. And I think if it gets down to 7, you have to take a long look at the Broncos. Really believe altitude and that hurry-up offense will be way too much for the Ravens defense to try and keep
this
game close.
Yes, I picked Denver now.
Me too. I think they blow Baltimore out.
Yeah.
Any other games we should look at on that first NFL weekend?
I think the team that should be on upset alert, I'll put the Seattle Seahawks on upset alert, laying 3.5 at Carolina. You talk about a team in the Pacific Northwest who may not be ready for an early kickoff on the East Coast. By all accounts, it looks like it should be pretty hot and humid in Carolina, and I think they could get worn down late. Carolina, a team that I've had circled, I think they can surprise a lot of people. Interesting to note, Pete Carroll, not all that familiar with the road favorite role, and Seattle will be in it plenty this year with such high expectations out there.
Todd, with the NFL being most teams 8-8, middle of the road, a lot of mediocrity, what's the odds that every week that it will be an upset?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, typically favorites and underdogs have a pretty good balance. And the one trend that's emerged over the last handful of years in the NFL, that if you can pick the team that wins the game outright, between 75 and 80% of the time they cover the spread. So you can kind of throw out that number there. Hopefully for the books, though, there are more underdogs that end up getting to the window. Having spoken to a lot of the shops in town, they will all be New York Jets fans this week, hoping Geno Smith finds a way to settle into a comfort zone and get the Jets to the window as a 3-point underdog against Tampa.
One more college game that we didn't hit on, I don't think. Florida-Miami. I like that one at 11 o'clock.
I think when you look at this game, it's strength on strength with Florida's defense against Miami's ultra-talented offense, and it's weakness on weakness. Can Florida and Jeff Driscoll move the football consistently against Miami's defense? From a pure point spread standpoint, number looks a little bit short to me with Florida only a 3-point favorite, because this assumes that Miami actually has a home field advantage down there, which I don't account for any of it at Sun Life Stadium. I think this price should be more like 5.5, 6. And all things being equal, I'll take the team hailing from the SEC over the ACC any chance I get.
Good stuff, Todd. And again, if listeners have questions about specific games, they can hit you up on Twitter at Todd Furman, right?
Always happy to answer those questions, though. I think we did a pretty good job covering the full gamut in this segment today, boys.
Did a pretty good job. All right. Thanks, Todd. Thanks,
always, Matt. A pleasure.
Todd does a great job every Wednesday at 4:30, and he'll break down the games. And again, you can hit him up on Twitter at Todd Furman. That's Furman. We'll be right back.